Hello, and welcome to Living Proof, the teaching ministry of Joseph Castillo. We encourage you to listen to today's message over and over again, so that the Word of God will be in your spirit. Be a blessing, share it with your friends, and we pray that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We also invite you to visit us online at www.anifbeijing.com.
A man by the name of Amit Kalantri. Anybody heard of Amit Kalantri? He's an author. He said this: beginning in itself has no value. It is an end which makes beginning meaningful. We must end what we begun. There is no meaning. People always say, oh, praise God. How many people, honey, over the years said, God's called me to China? I've met so many goofy people call me up and come to China because God called them to China. And they can't even make it 2 months because they don't like Kung Pao chicken. Really? One guy ate Burger King breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 3 months. Then he complained his salary wasn't high enough. Well, that's because every meal he eats is 80 kwai a meal. 80 kwai for breakfast, 80 kwai for lunch, 80 because he had to have two big burgers, triple whoppers with fries, you know. And, you know, after eating 380 kwai meals a day, of course he can't afford to live in China. Amen. If God has really called you, amen, it's not how you begin, it's how you end. Hallelujah. You know, I determined that I told the church before, I said, God's called me here. The only way I'm leaving is if they drag me out kicking and screaming or drag me out in handcuffs. I'm not going anywhere, amen. Because once I begin something, I'm going to finish it, hallelujah. Because that's the kind of spirit that God wants all of us to have, amen. It's not the beginning that has any value. What gives the beginning meaning is when you finish. Number two, marathons are ran in community. You never see a marathon where just one guy is the runner. And today is Olympic marathon. We have one contestant from Nairobi. Hallelujah. I mean, they might as well just let Usain Bolt run by himself because they know we're going to beat him, right? But everybody knows Usain Bolt's going to win. But at least there's other participants, hallelujah. Marathons are ran in community. Amen. In other words, the cross of Jesus Christ is not only vertical, our relationship with God, but it's also horizontal. How can, you know, and the reason why the cross is horizontal and vertical is because my relationship with God will be also directly correlated to my relationship with God's people. If I can't get along with my church community, if I can't get along with my brothers and sisters, how do I expect to get along with God? Amen. God designed it that way. God created interdependence. God created out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, well, God just talked to me himself. That's foolishness. The Bible says out of the mouth are two or three witnesses. Let everything be established. Amen. We are designed to live in community. We are designed to have accountability amongst the body. Amen. The Bible, Paul specifically said that the foot can't say to the calf, I don't need you. And the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. We need each other. Amen. We cannot be like that, that there used to be this TV show where this hand, there would be no body attached to it, and the hand would just like, you know. What was that show called? Do you remember? The Addams Family. The Addams Family, there would just be this hand that would just walk up to you, you know. That's scary. Hallelujah. If the hand is not connected to a body, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Amen. If I open my door and there's just a hand standing down there looking up at me like, you know, like, hello. I say, shakalabasa, I rebuke you. I start kicking that hand. Amen. And that's how people come up to you. Oh, praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm a Christian. Or I'm a minister. I'm a pastor. Can I come preach in your church? I say, oh, praise the Lord. What church you go to? Oh, well, I just followed the Holy Spirit. That's just as freaky as a hand coming up to me with no body. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Get out of here. We are created to be part of the body. Amen. We are, our vertical relationship depends on our horizontal relationship with the body. Amen. Look at what 1 John 4 says, 20 and 21. If anyone says, I love God, but hates or works against his Christian brother, he's a liar. If you say you love Jesus, but you cannot get along with a brother and sister in Christ, you're a liar. And most of the time, we deceive ourselves. Amen. You can't get along with your brothers and sisters, he says, you're a liar. For one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot. Can you say with me, cannot? Cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should also unselfishly love his brother and seek the best for him. You tell me you love me and you can't even hang out with me for 5 minutes? You don't love me. Amen? If we say we love God, but we can't have a healthy relationship with our church community, we are self-deceived. We're not in the race. We're not engaged in our destiny. We have some form of religion that we've designed ourselves to appease our conscience to get into heaven, but we are not living the Christian life. We are not running the Christian race. The Christian race is interdependent on the community, on the body of Christ. Amen. Don't reject the gifts God gives you to win the race. Don't reject the gifts that God gives you to win the race. So the question is, what gifts did God give the Christians to win the race? Let's take a look here at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 18 through 14. And I have this book here by Kenneth Hagin. It's called, Kenneth Hagin's one of the fathers in Christ. And it's called, He Gave Gifts to Men. This men is generic. I mean humans. Amen. God gave gifts to humans. What gifts did God give the Christians to win the race? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 14. It says, therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he bestowed gifts on men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also previously descended from the heights of heaven into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the very same as he who also ascended high above all the heavens, that he, his presence, might fill all things, that is, the whole universe, and his gifts to the church, which were varied, and he himself appointed some as apostles, some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastors and teachers, a shepherd to guide and instruct. Say guide and instruct, please. It's right here behind me. To guide and instruct. Coaches, in other words. Spiritual coaches. To guide and instruct. Amen. Hallelujah. He says here, to guide and instruct. And he did this. Why? to fully equip and perfect the saints. That's God's people. To do works of service, to build up the body of Christ in the church. Let's just say works of service. If you're not doing works of service, if you're not serving helps ministry, you're cheating yourself from an opportunity to grow spiritually. Amen. Works of service are not for the church. They're for you, actually. Amen. Your tithing is not for the church. It's for you. Amen. The worship is not for God only. It's also for you. Amen. To build up the body of Christ, the church, until we reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. We can't get oneness in the faith when we have this, well, I think, well, I just feel, well, in my opinion. You can't have oneness in the faith. The only way we can get oneness in the faith is if we all come back to this Bible and say, we will agree on this. I think, I feel, I believe, but who cares? I'm going to conform to the Word of God. Amen. Oneness in the faith, it says. So that we are no longer, verse 14, so that we are no longer children, spiritually mature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea and carried about with every wind of shifting doctrine by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit. There's a new teaching going around the African church now about the altar. I sat in a service in Luçon, France, with three pastors, all African church, and the pastor before me, he was speaking in French. And all I heard him saying was, altar, 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 altar. And he kept talking about the altar, the altar, the altar, the altar. Come to find out, the whole message is about giving donations. So then I was talking to Miro this week, and he meets this other pastor in Liberia, and this pastor in Liberia says, oh, I'll get you the girlfriend that you want if you give me $500 because you have to build an altar. And then I started studying this. This whole altar thing is a new teaching coming out of the African church where you build an altar, how Isaac built an altar and Jacob built an altar and you build an altar. Well, how did they build an altar? Well, they put rocks and they put stones. But how do these guys want you to build an altar? By giving them $500. And you give them $500 and you built an altar. This is a goofy doctrine to manipulate people for money. And they use a bunch of scriptures. But in the scriptures, they were not giving $500 to build an altar. It's totally unbiblical. But the reason why people are tossed to and fro with all this, there's a guy named Alf Lukua in South Africa. This guy, he brought in a casket through the hearse, you know, the hearse where they bring the caskets. He brought in the hearse and he brought in the casket and he has this guy come up and supposedly he raises the guy from the dead. And so the guy's in the casket, it was on CNN, it was all over world news. So the guy's in the casket and he gets up like he's risen from the dead. So worldwide, this got on the news, CNN, everything. He raised the dead. Alf Lukua raised the dead. I saw that. Now, I know about raising the dead. My spiritual grandpa, Dr. Summerall, Smith Wigglesworth raised 21 people from the dead. When my spiritual grandfather, Lester Summerall, was in Beijing, the Chinese church had raised hundreds of people from the dead. I believe in raising the dead. But I saw this, and immediately I said, this is fake. It's not because I don't believe raising the dead. Todd Bentley raised 3 people from the dead in Karachi, Pakistan last year. I believe in raising the dead. But I saw this and I knew it was fake. Immediately I knew it was fake. How do I know? Because first of all, I'm founded in the Word of God. And when you're founded in the Word of God, your spirit will reject foolishness. And I saw this, I said, no, 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 this is fake. This is fake. And I laughed at it, and I sent to a few people. I might have sent to Daniel, right? I sent to a few people. I said, can you believe this? This is fake. But it's so phony. Reinhard Bonnke raised a man from the dead. Powerful. It was in Africa. It took place. Very famous miracle of resurrection of the dead. I believe in it, but this was fake. Alf was fake. Come to find out, 2 weeks later, some people did an investigation. They called the funeral home, and they said that they had purchased an empty casket. Then they called the hearse company, and they said they rented the empty hearse. And so then they found out that they hired this lady and her family to come and do the act and pretend that he's dead. So they rented the hearse, they rented the casket, and they faked the whole thing. It was all a facade. Now, 2 weeks later on CNN, Elf Lakua, fake resurrection, all over BBC, Al Jazeera, all over the news. A fake resurrection from the dead. Christians believed it. I posted this as fake. Can you believe this? People say, oh, don't judge the prophet of God. Be careful. Touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. Don't speak against the man of God. Such foolish Christians. Foolish Christians. Tossed to and fro with every sign, with every wonder, every fake miracle, every false doctrine to manipulate people out of their money or to start cults in separate kind of churches. Alf said he apologized. He came on television and he apologized for his fake miracle. That's the one he got caught for. What about the thousands he didn't get caught for before that? And then some other big pastors in some other country afterwards said, well, Alf is a real man of God. Just ignore what he did. And millions of people still follow him, still send money, and just ignore that fake miracle because we are fooled by winds of doctrines and false miracles. Amen. God says he gave us clerical authorities that are given the responsibility to guide you in your race and to empower you. And I have a picture of a Catholic priest because he just looks like a minister, and he's coaching the team. God's given apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers to coach you, to guide you. When I had a strange feeling about Elf, I called up other pastor friends of mine, Bishop Malumba. What do you think about TB Joshua? What do you think about Elf Lakua? What do you think about this other guy? There's another guy doing fake miracles too, Shepherd Bushri. What do you think about this? I asked Bishop Malumba. After I talked to Bishop Malumba, I asked another man of God that I know knows Jesus. And they say, oh, my spirit rejects him. I say, yeah, me too. I just wanted to ask you why. Then it comes out, this guy, Shepherd Bushri, he was pretending to take fake miracle photos with his iPad. And he would pretend to take a photo, and then by a miracle, a picture would appear of the person's family member. And so they caught him on camera. He pretended that he pushed the button to take a picture, but actually he pushed the little square photo on the left side of the iPad that has the previous picture that was already loaded on the iPad. So he pretend like he said, all right, everybody stand up. Everyone begin praying. And he goes to push the, you saw this one? He goes to push the camera thing and he clicks with his finger. They zoomed in on the computer. They zoomed in on the photo that he pushed with his pinky, and it was the exact photo that was queued up for him to touch that one to appear like he did a miracle. And if you want to have lunch with him, dinner with him, it's like $3,000 US. That doesn't include the food. Yeah, he came to Beijing and you had to pay like $3,000 to eat dinner with him. Ridiculous. And people I know that used to go to this church that ran off from our church to go to some other goofy church, and they're there front row sitting right next to him with their $3,000. Goofiness. Amen. God has given you gifts to help coach you. Any church, ministry, Bible study that doesn't have the gifts that he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, if there's no spiritual authorities there, it's not from God. It is a demonic group with all kinds of demons flying around manifesting, and nobody's there to judge it and to correct anything, and it's just goofiness. Amen. And any church that's ran by some super personality is a dangerous thing. We have elders and we have deacons, and all of our meetings, what if I have a feeling, if I feel God said this, the Holy Spirit said that, I say, I'm feeling this. What do you guys think? And then they will say yes or no. And I always, even though I'm the apostle, I always follow their lead, always. Except once or twice. And I say, well, guys, I hear what you're saying, but I really feel like this is, you know, I just want to go that direction. And then they would say, all right, Pastor, well, you know what? You're the authority here. You're the apostle. We'll go with that. But that happens like 1% of the time. 99% of the time, we make a corporate decision. Amen. Because that's how the body of Christ is supposed to work. You pray, you hear from God, you bounce it off a brother and sister, you submit it to authority, and that's how you go forward. I'll tell you a quick testimony. We had a girl in this church. She called me Papa. Oh, Papa. Oh, you're my Papa. Oh, my Papa. She said, you know, if I ever date somebody, if God brings a man into my life, you know, I'm going to check with you, Papa. I want you to meet him and interview him. And I was blessed. I said, well, praise God. I said, that's beautiful. I said, you know, amen. Well, I'll check him out for you. Amen. I'll meet him and I'll talk to him and check him out for you. So all of a sudden, she disappears. Missing services, coming late. Strange things are happening. She would just leave prayer early and say, oh, I have to go somewhere. She would always say, like, I'm going to meet my friend, or I'm going to eat, or I'm going to... She would always tell me these things. But all of a sudden, she became vague. Oh, I'm going to see some peoples. Some peoples? What peoples? Oh, just some people. And she got real vague about it. I don't know what's going on, but I find out later on that she's been secretly dating somebody. Didn't bring him to me. This person was highly demonic, into witchcraft. And she's been dating this person now. Didn't tell me. She's pregnant by this person. Didn't tell me. So she's pregnant with this guy. She's dating with this guy. It's all a secret. And this guy prophesied to her. He said, the day that your pastor finds out that we're dating, the Holy Spirit said, we have to leave the church. And when we leave the church will shut down, says the Lord. So she's like, and she believes him. Now, she's normally probably not that stupid, but because she's so desperate for a man that she's leaning towards just blindly believing and following this guy, ends up pregnant, ends up getting married to cover the pregnancy, and then immediately after the marriage, they're separated. He's gone. She's living alone here, raising the child by herself. God gives you spiritual authorities to protect you, to guide you, to help you run the race successfully, to help you get past the finish line, to help you win successfully. Amen. Amen. This is God's design. God gives us clerical authority to give you guidance, and we have responsibility for you. Amen. Amen. You cannot be a successful Christian apart from a community, apart from a church, apart from a spiritual authority. Now, I know that there's been a lot of abuses in spiritual authority. I know that. And this is why in China, you have a lot of goofy Christians doing all kinds of things, saying the Holy Spirit told me. They have no pastor, no authority over them, and they just do all kinds of crazy things. But where that really comes from is the major Christian movement that took place in China back in the 30s and 40s was very controlling. It was an authoritarian, very controlling, and they had to submit to the pastors and do everything the pastor says, and you know, and they controlled the people. So as a result, many of the Chinese Christians have gone the opposite direction, and now they don't listen to any authority. They don't honor or respect any authority, and it's because there was too much extreme on one side. So we acknowledge that there can be too much extreme on one side, and if you're watching by television or you're listening to the podcast and your pastor controls everything that you do, who you date, what you eat, your finances, where you work, this is too much control. Okay, and if you here listening to me, because we don't do that here, if you guys ask me, Pastor, what should I do about this job? I say to you, well, pray about it. What is God telling you? because I'm not here to lord over you. If you say, I'm dating this person, what do you think? I'll say, well, okay, I'll check. Are they born again? Do they attend church? What church did they go to? You know, I'll make sure the basics are covered. Then you have to pray. Amen. And you have to make a decision. If you say, Pastor, I like this person, I love them, and they qualify, they have a pastor, they belong to a church, and they're saved and they attend church, then the decision's up to you. I'm not going to marry that fool. You are. Amen. I'm not going to have to wake up to their stinking breath. You are. Amen. So, you know, I'm not going to control anybody because I don't want anybody. You're not serving me as Lord. You're serving Jesus as Lord. But the pastor authorities were there to just make sure that you're on the right path, that you're being guided correctly, that you're not being deceived. Amen. Amen. This is very significant. This is very important. And if we're going to run the race successfully, we have to be connected to community. We have to have covenant brothers and sisters in Christ, and we have to be part of the church. One of our recent leaders hasn't been to church in 2 months. Send him a message. Where are you? He said, I'm going to church online. I said, what kind of foolishness is this? You're going to church online. What about the covenant that you signed when you became a member, the covenant with the body? He said, oh, I'll bring it back to you. I just want to say, don't bring it back to me. Shove it up your rear end. Amen. What good is that paper to me if it means nothing to you? It's not about a piece of paper. It's about you're in covenant with the community. You're under spiritual covenant and authority. Amen. It's goofiness. I'm going to go to church online. We're going to go to church online. The reason why he doesn't want to come here is because he doesn't have the microphone anymore. Because he doesn't have position to preach. I had this girl come in from Liberia. She came to one service. She said, Pastor, you got to let me preach. I said, okay, well, why? She said, oh, because I'm African. And I'll get the Africans excited. I'll preach and I'll stir up your Africans for you. I said, well, I mean, maybe you probably can get in here and scream and shout and get people excited. I said, but really the most important thing is that we're in the Word, solid in the Word of God. And I said, so you could preach, but why don't you come to prayer for a month? We have prayer every Sunday morning, 10 o'clock in the next hall. Come to prayer every month because we don't have a lot of people in prayer. We only got like 5 people praying. Why don't you come pray? That's where we have the need. Never saw her again. She didn't want to pray. She didn't want to sit before the Lord and wait upon the Lord and pray. She wants to be seen. She wants to manipulate people. She wants to preach and give you false prophecies. There's another guy in this city. I'm not going to say who is a young guy. He's a young student, started a church, calls himself a prophet. All of his prophecies are false. All of them. I sat to lunch with him and his prophet from Zambia. They gave me about 20, 30 prophecies. Not one of them were right. All false prophecies. And people call him prophet and attend his church. He told me, you're seeing the number 22, 22. Everywhere you go, you're seeing 22. Everywhere you go, you see 22. That's a sign. It's Psalm 22, 22. God's giving you a sign, 22. So I thought, okay, 22, 22. I tried to believe him. And I walked around for about 3 months looking for 22, 22, 22. I didn't see 22 anywhere. He prophesied to me within 3 months, a Chinese rich man's going to come and bless me with a lot of money. And you're going to have a big amount of money. For I waited now for 2 years for that prophecy. He told me 3 months. It's been 2 years. I can't even get a Chinese customer to pay the bill that they owe, let alone give me a donation. Amen. All these false prophecies, but he calls himself a prophet. And people flock to the church because at that church, if you go there, you get a position. You become the head deacon of the worship team. And you become the vice general of the choir. And you get all these positions. And people want positions, but they don't want the word of God. People want prophecies, and they don't care if they don't come to pass. Just tell me I'm going to be rich. Tell me God's going to bless me. But don't talk about me living with my boyfriend. This church I was just at, the deacons, the elders of the church are living together unmarried. And I say, you guys need to separate. And they say, well, everyone in the church is doing it. And I said, that's why you need to separate, to give an example to the rest of the church on what you should do. He said, well, I'll just sit down. I don't want to serve. I'll just sit down. And I said, so you don't want to serve God anyways. You just want to have a microphone in your hand. You want to preach and scream, or you want to sing and get attention drawn to yourself like Lucifer. That's what Lucifer wants. He wants people to look at him. He wants attention. But he doesn't want to serve God in secret where nobody sees him. Amen. We need to grow up. We need to be mature. And we need to run this Christian race to the end. Amen. And God's given us coaches. We can't live without them. And God given us community. We need to do it in community. Amen. And we need to finish and finish strong. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and give the Lord a hand clap, please. I don't know if you guys have the same urgency that I had. But when I got saved, I said to myself, with urgency in my heart, I said, God, I want to make it to the end. God, I want to be saved and I want to make it to the end. I don't want to relapse. I don't want to backslide. I want to serve you. I want to be a man of God and I want to have a legacy. I want to make it to the end. I don't want to be one of those that just disappear. Doesn't mean I never fell and I won't ever fall, but it means that I've determined that no matter how hard the fall, I'll get back up. I just want to share with you one thing that somebody mentioned to me, actually to a meeting I was at recently. Some people have fell and they have ran away from God. And they think that they have ran away from God so far that now if they come back to God, they have a long way to go because they've gotten so far away from God. So like they ran away from God, they ran away from God, they're sinning or doing their own thing or whatever, and they ran away from God, and now to come back to God, they have a far way to go. But what I didn't understand, and I just realized it this week, is that when you were running away from God, God was running after you. So as you were running away from God, doing your own thing, God was running right behind you. So you don't have to go back far to him. All you have to do is turn around and he's right there. Amen. You can't run away from God because he'll just chase you down. Hallelujah. He's never far from you. Amen. We just have to determine that no matter how hard we fall, we're always going to get back up. We're always going to be in there. If you go to this church, you come to this church, come hell or high water. If you want to go to another church, let me pray for you and bless you. I'll bless you. Go to another church. But go to that church, come hell or high water. But be a part of community. Be a part of covenant. Be under spiritual authority. You can't say, oh, I'm under my aunt. My aunt is my authority, and she lives in Weifang somewhere. You got to be under the authority that's there with you, praying for you, serving you, and you serving them, because your growth is in community, and it's in authority, and it's in fellowship, and it's intimate with people that love you, that God's put around you. Amen. And if you can't love them, you can't truly love God. We have to learn. So, you know, God will give you people that are hard to love, just to teach you, amen, to teach you how to love. He don't promise he'll give you people easy to love, amen. He just says love them, hallelujah. And he gives you hard people to love. Well, that's part of your cross, to die to yourself, die to your selfishness, die to your pride, amen. When I was in Canada, my best friend was a mentally handicapped guy. And I hung out with this mentally handicapped guy. I hang out with Harry. Harry's mentally handicapped. Robert, too. Robert hangs out with this mentally handicapped guy. He's retarded. He hangs out with them. I hang out with retarded people. No problem. I hang out with mean, crazy people. People don't like. They say, why do you spend time with them? I just love everybody. The nature of Christ inside of me. Amen. I hang out with Mike. Hallelujah. Amen. There's nobody that just, you know, that I can't love and be spent time with. Nobody. Amen. Because the nature of Christ inside of me. I hang out with all kinds of people. Retarded people, gangsters, murderers, pimps, hookers. I'll sit down, hang out in your roach-infested apartment and with you smoking cigarettes and cussing. I have no problem with it. And I'll just love on you. Because it's Jesus inside of me. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this message today on engaging our destiny, running the race. And if there's anybody here, Father God, today that was not in the race, or maybe never thought about the finish line, didn't have the finish line in focus, or thought that they could do it outside on their own somewhere. And they realize today through the preaching of the Word of God that we're called to be in community. We're called to do it together. We're called to do it in fellowship. And we're given gifts. In this church, Juan's a gift. Lucy's a gift. Finihas is a gift. B's a gift. I'm a gift. And we have gifts that are here for each other, to encourage one another, to pray for each other, to teach each other the Word of God. And if anywhere any leader or pastor is erred in doctrine, let us be corrected, because it's not what we think and what our opinion is. It's what does the Word of God say, and that settles every account. We want true disciples in this church, true followers of Jesus. We're not here for Christian pretense. We're not here for Christian club and Christian activities, but we're here to really follow Jesus, to really be disciples of Jesus. And when we have a hard time because of the flesh, because of our past, to do everything that God says to do, and we may have a hard time to really be holy, that we're not abandoned, but we're loved and we're encouraged to get back up and to go forward and to strive for the finish line, to strive for the race, to strive to do things right before God, because before everything, we love Jesus. Give us a church. Let us be a church of people, whether it's 20, 30, this summer there's less people, but whether we're 20 or 100 or 10,000, let us be a community of people that love Jesus. And if we don't love each other, we know we don't love Jesus. John taught us that today, Father God. Let us love each other no matter what, and let us love Jesus above all things. And Father, we thank you for this today, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. We bless you in the name of the Lord.
We had to stop the recording at that point, but you might be listening right now and you say, Pastor Joey, I wanted to pray that prayer. If I was there, I would have prayed with you. I'd like to pray right now, as a matter of fact. I'd like to give my life to Jesus Christ. I would like to have God in my life, and I'd like to know Jesus as my Savior and my Lord and surrender my life to Him. You know, repentance means to turn away from your way of doing things and to turn to God's way. We've done things our own way. Like they used to say in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous, when I did the 12 steps, they said, your best decisions and your best ways of thinking and your best ways to handle life have gotten you to this situation. And now it's time to trust a higher power. Well, there is no higher power than the God of all the earth. His name is Jehovah. And He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. And through Him, you can turn from your way of doing things to His way. And His way is the right way, because He made you. And He made you for a purpose. And He knows exactly what you need to pull out your potential, to forgive you of your sins, deliver you from the things that keep you away from God in a sin and death cycle. And if you'd open up your heart to Him right now, together with me, God can begin a new work in your life. So just pray with me wherever you're at, whether you're driving your car, whether you're at home, wherever you are, just pray with me and repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that your Son died for my sins. And on the third day, He was raised from the dead. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'd like you to contact me, and we can send you some more resources and materials that can help you start this new life, because this is the first day of the rest of your life. Email me at joe@nationsabroad.com or email the church at nfcontact@gmail.com. And we'd love to speak with you and just correspond with you and put you on the right path, maybe help you find some local churches there online or something, or maybe we know some pastors there that could follow up with you and help teach you the Word of God. Thank you for listening, and feel free to download the other podcasts and just feed on the Word of God.